Thank you for listening to the New Life Church podcast. If you need any information about our church, or if you'd like to give online, please visit us at newlifekingman.com.
Thank you for your blessing tonight. Thank you that you have given us the ability to be able to hear from you. And tonight we've come to receive and to hear from you. Lord, cause us to have hearing ears tonight. We thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Good to see you. So I've got a few things from teachers to kids. The teacher says to a student, how old is your father? The kid says, he's 6 years. Teacher says, what? How is that possible? The kid said, he became a father only when I was born. Teacher says, Maria, go to the map and find North America. Maria says, here it is. Correct, the teacher says. Now, class, who discovered America? The class says, Maria. The teacher says, Glenn, how do you spell crocodile? Glenn says, K-R-O-K-O-D-I-A-L. The teacher says, no, that's wrong. And Glenn says, well, maybe it is wrong, but you ask how I spell it. The teacher says, Donald, what is the chemical formula for water? Donald says, H-I-J-K-L-M-N-O. The teacher says, what are you talking about? He said, yesterday you said H-2-O. Smart kid. The teacher says, Clyde, your composition on my dog is exactly the same as your brother's. Did you copy his? Clyde says, no, sir. It's the same dog. Teacher said, Harold, what do you call a person who keeps on talking when people are no longer interested? Harold said, a teacher. Okay, so we are in part two of our lesson on how to hear from God. Next Wednesday night, we're going to have our praise and worship and prayer night. Because some of the worship team are going to be gone at the last Wednesday. And so we're doing like we did last month. Next week, we're going to take 1 week vacation from this class and be here for praise and worship and prayer and special thing. And then the following week, 2 weeks, we'll finish off with lesson number 3. So one of the most important truths that we must remember is every born-again believer has the ability to hear from God. So that means you and me, every born-again believer. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And so I want you to say this again with me tonight. I can hear from God. And you really can. We need to know that we can, and that we do hear from God a lot more than what we may realize. And so we're going to get in and unpack some of this again tonight. There's a way, and this came to me, hit me last week after the class. There's a way we can know if we have been hearing God speak to us. And the ultimate outcome of if the ultimate outcome of what we have heard brings peace, it was probably God. And so I've got two scriptures relating to that, and I'll tell you what I mean. Psalms 85 verse 8 says, I will hear what God will speak, or God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints. In John 16:33, Jesus said, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And so in both of these portions of Scripture, it talks about God speaking peace. He speaks, and we need to hear him speaking peace. by saying that the ultimate outcome is peace, not every time God speaks to you necessarily will just be this, oh man, I just feel so peace. I've had God speak very strongly to me at times in my heart. I've had him deal with me about stuff very strongly at times in my heart. But he didn't speak in condemnation. He didn't speak in guilt. What he spoke didn't bring confusion. If it was something I needed to ask him to forgive me for, I'd say, God, forgive me. And then peace was the product of that. If what we are hearing brings condemnation and confusion and dis-ease, it's not God. God speaks peace to us. And so we need to know that sometimes he may speak strongly to us, but that strong word that may at the moment seem almost, I've had God shock me before. He has two different times God has talked to me in my heart and dealt with me about forgiving someone. And both times, because I've always thought of myself as being just super forgiving, you know. I never hold anything about against anybody. But I've had on two different occasions, and it really shocked me at the time. And I realized, because God kind of pointed out what I was doing, and it wasn't that I was speaking about them, speaking against them. It was just that if I heard somebody say something nice about it, I knew something else, and I would think, yeah, well, if you only knew. You know, so I didn't say that, but in my mind, and you know what that was? Is I was holding something in my heart, and I had to, so initially it was kind of shocking, but then I prayed and said, God, I asked forgiveness, and I just released this, and peace was the product. So does that make sense? The ultimate outcome should be peace. Okay, we're going to look. I mentioned several ways that God spoke to us last week, and we went through them real quickly. Tonight, we're going to unpack each of these, how God speaks to us. And so the first way is probably the least common. God has spoken to people in an audible voice. I've never had God speak to me in an audible voice. I know people that he has spoken to. In an audible voice, but he hasn't to me, but he does, he can, and still will. Exodus chapter 33, verse 11, so the Lord spoke to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. In John 12, verse 28 through 30, Jesus is speaking. He says, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Therefore, the people who stood by and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said an angel spoke to him. And then Jesus answered and said, this is really interesting. Jesus answered and said, this voice did not come because of me, but for your sake. In other words, God the Father was trying to speak to them. But some of them said, man, you sound like thundered, you know. And others said, well, an angel spoke. And so it illustrates a point, and that is that we need to learn how to recognize God's voice a lot better. Because I'm sure God has spoken to me at times. I thought, man, is that thunder? God said, you know what I mean? So we need to get to know his voice better. All right, B. Sometimes God speaks to us through dreams and visions. I mentioned last class that in Africa, God seems to speak more in dreams and visions to a lot of these people that I was in relationship with there. And some of it really was because a lot of the women in the villages didn't learn to read. But God is going to break through and communicate. He wants to talk to people. And I'm not relegating dreams and visions just to a village in Africa. He just did that more so, I think, in their lives because he wanted to speak to them, and it was one of the ways that he could communicate to them. God will speak to us in dreams and vision. But having said that, not every dream we have is a revelation from God. Somebody can say, thank God. Some dreams are just pizza or taco dreams, you know. A lot of the dreams, and I have a close friend of mine who's is well-respected pastor, and he thinks that all dreams have real significance. He hadn't been inside of my dreams. I can tell you, a lot of my dreams have no significance. They are just weird ramblings. I mean, just strange. And so, anyway, I personally don't believe that all dreams have significance. I can tell you this, all dreams don't have real spiritual significance. Sometimes they're just our minds doing. But, so that's one thing. The second thing is, if we receive a dream or a vision from God, it should humble us rather than make us spiritually proud. Just because a person receives a dream or a vision from God doesn't mean that that person is any more spiritual than anyone else, or that they are more connected to God necessarily than anybody else. It just simply means they received a dream or a vision from God. Does that kind of make sense? A couple of you think so. So anyway, I'll move on. Sometimes, though, God does speak to us through dreams and visions. In Joel 2, verse 28 and 29, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days." One of the signs of the last days is God revealing himself through dreams and visions. And so we can expect God to do that more and more. I'm praying for God to reveal himself more in dreams and visions. I'll tell you about that in a minute. Some years ago, I was with a missions team in the Philippines, and this man was that we were staying with and his wife, he shared a story about something that happened to him and a dream that he had during a very dangerous time in his life. He had been kidnapped by Muslim terrorists. This was in southern Mindanao, in the southern end of the Philippine Islands. He had been kidnapped. He ran a small rubber plantation on this island where they lived and the area. And these Muslim terrorists thought he owned Firestone Tire Company. He didn't. So they were holding him for ransom. He didn't know where he was. He had been blindfolded and taken by boat to another place and all this. And so he had no idea where he was. His wife and friends started praying for him, and one night while he is being held captive in this rickety hut, he has a dream. In this dream, he sees himself in the hut that he was staying in, and the guards that were guarding him had fallen into a deep sleep, and in this dream, he sees himself get up, walk across the floor of the hut. The guards didn't wake up. He was able to get outside, and he went down. He sees in his dream a path. He gets on this footpath and starts going down it, and he comes to a place where the path forked and went in two different directions, and he woke up. And so he wondered about it and wondered, you know, felt like there was some spiritual significance to it. And so that night, just like the dream, the guards fell into a deep sleep, and he thought, well, so he got up, he walked across the floor, and you'd have to be in a village hut to know, it's not like you can get out without making a lot of noise, and he knew he was making noise, but God had made them fall into a deep sleep, and so he got out the door, and everything looked just like he had seen the night before in his dream. He saw the footpath, he got on it, he goes walking down, and he got to that fork that he saw in the dream, and he didn't know which way to go, and he heard gunfire in one direction, so he said, I think I'll go this way. He went down that way, and he was rescued by a government patrol that had been out searching for him, and he was spared, saved, and went on. That's a dream from God. I told you, I dream a lot. I dream just, and a lot of my dreams are ramblings of my mind, just strange, just odd stuff. I can have dreams of people from my childhood that will just pop up that I haven't thought about in 40, 50 years, you know, and it doesn't really mean anything. Sometimes I'll pray for them, you know, but it's just odd. I've had several dreams that I know were from God. I've had several about my kids that I would pray for them, you know, about things and all that. I have seen one, what I guess you would call open vision, where I saw a vision. My eyes were open, and yet I saw a vision superimposed. And I'll tell you what happened. I was in Mozambique in Africa, and I was talking to an evangelist who had worked with James Robison and Peter Pretorius helping them with drilling water wells and then interpreting for them and preaching and all that. And this guy was sharing with me about his work in Mozambique, and it was the oddest thing. I've never had this happen before or since, but while he is talking, just sharing what he is doing, I see an image of him superimposed. So he's there, but it's like I see another image of him superimposed in front of him, and he's got his hands outstretched, tears streaming down his face, pleading for people to intercede and to come to the aid of those people in Mozambique. It was powerful. And like I said, I'd never seen anything before or since like that, but I've had some dreams, I've had some visions, and they are one of the ways God can speak to us. They may not be the most reliable way, and so again, I want to just kind of put a little word of caution in. Don't think that every dream you have has real spiritual significance, because I think that a lot of them, and this is the Wilson speaking, I think that a lot of them are just ramblings of our mind. But I also know that God can use and does use dreams and visions to speak to us. Amen. Say, I believe that. Thank you. I'll move on. Amen. Then thirdly, God speaks to us through nature. Psalm 19, verse 1 says, the heavens declare the glory of God. See, this is God speaking. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. The Bible tells us that God reveals himself to all people. And this will help some of us, because sometimes we wonder, you know, what about these people that are, in the deep, dark jungle that no missionary or person has ever witnessed to them, or they've never had somebody. For one thing, a lot of these areas are being evangelized. But for those who haven't, the Bible talks in Romans about God. Well, here, I'll just read it. Why don't you read it? I will. Romans chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, listen, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Hallelujah. Those who may not hear the gospel preached have God declaring to them about himself through the creation that he made. And so there are people who will one day stand before God defenseless because God speaks to all of us through his creation. Okay? All of us should pay more attention to God speaking to us through his creation. We should. He'll talk to us. He'll reveal himself to us through his creation. Now, I'm going to clue you in on one of my little idiosyncrasies or oddities. One of my favorite birds. I love eagles. I love birds of prey. But you know, one of my favorite birds is a sparrow. A sparrow. Every time I see a sparrow, you know, it happens to me all the time. I'll be in the morning prayer. I look out on the parking lot here at the church when I'm praying sometimes. And while I'm praying, I'll see some sparrows flitting around. And every time I see a sparrow, I think God's thinking about me. It's very cool. Yeah, it is awesome. Look at Luke chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. Jesus said, "Are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." Isn't that cool? So now tell yourself, I'm more valuable than a bird. That's good. Now, some of you may be surprised by this, but one of the greatest defenses we have against worry is God's creation. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 30, Jesus speaking, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" So here's something you can remember. The next time you find yourself worrying about paying the utility bill or paying rent or whatever it may be, I want to encourage you, look at the birds. Look at the wildflowers, if there are any wildflowers that haven't burned up already, but Kingman Desert. But if God is so concerned about birds, we need to know he's more concerned about us, and he's going to help us. Amen. To combat worry and fear, look at his creation. All right, then God also speaks through other people. And all of us have had this happen in our lives. I split that portion of scripture up before and didn't put it on the screen. That's why I'm behind. Okay. Proverbs 15, verse 22 and 23 says, "Without counsel, plans go awry, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in season, how good it is." What this is saying, we need each other. We really do need each other. And one of the biggest reasons we need each other is to be able to speak a word in due season, or to have someone speak to us at times a word in due season. There's a number of ways God can speak to us through others. One is simply an inspired word of encouragement. I've had this, and a lot of you have done this to me, so thank you, by a divine word of encouragement. You may not have known that it was God speaking through you to me, but a lot of you have done that, and it was God speaking to me through you. Now tell yourself, I believe that. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3. Paul is writing, he says, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. Now, as Paul is writing to these Christians in Thessalonica, they were going through a rough time, and he sent Timothy specifically to encouragement, to bring a word of encouragement. One of the things that we all ought to pray for is, God, help me to speak words of encouragement to others. God, give me the gift of encouragement, the ability to speak anointed words of encouragement to somebody else. Because you know what happens when you do that? Johanna was sharing about a couple of instances she had just recently where she spoke a word that God just kind of dropped in on her about them, a word of encouragement to two people. And you know what happens when we do that is they get blessed, but we do more so even, because we sense the Spirit of God moving through us. And so pray that God will use you. And it doesn't always have to be a thus saith God speak. It's more often just an impression. And you feel it kind of just an impression. Speak a word. Say something encouraging. Tell them they look good. Right? Okay. We can hear God speak to us through a preacher. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 and 15 says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. So every time that we come together, whether it's for a class like this or a Sunday service, we ought to come with an expectation that God is going to speak to us through preaching, through teaching. And not only that, but this portion of Scripture, Pastor Poole mentioned and used, this was his text this past Sunday, this being sent as a preacher doesn't necessarily mean, it's not just talking about paid preachers or ordained ministers. We are all called to bear the gospel, share the glad tidings. And so we need to know that God will use us to speak to others a word from him, to talk to them about Christ, to share Jesus. And as Pastor Poole was saying, even our testimony is the most powerful word sometimes that we have that we can give to somebody else, because we know it. We know what God's done for us. And so we need to be available to him for God to use us to speak a word to others. We can hear from God by the gifts of the Spirit operating through others. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. So there are times when God may speak to us through someone operating in the gift of the word of knowledge or word of wisdom. My most told story, and a lot of you have heard this numerous times, when I was a brand new convert and Don McCamish called me out. He was preaching, called me out. I prayed, God, have him speak to me now. And he pointed right at me on the front row and said, young man, God has a word. I was young back in those days. God has a word to speak to you. And I mean, it completely floored me, revolutionized my life. It was God speaking to me through Don McCamish. God will use anointed people to speak a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. Sometimes God will give supernatural insight into something that we have been praying about or maybe wrestling with in our lives. And when this happens, oftentimes, like this, I was praying in my heart. I wasn't praying out loud. He had no idea what was going on inside of me. But he heard from God and spoke to me, and it was confirmation about what I was praying about. A lot of times, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, these words from God will confirm something that God has already been talking to us about or encouraging us about. Both times that I moved to Africa as a missionary, God used somebody, and actually several people, to confirm me going. The first time was the pastor. I was an associate pastor in Colorado Springs under Ron Jones, and he had been away for a week preaching a meeting, and God had, through that several weeks, had been dealing with me about going to Africa as a missionary. He came back from those meetings that he had been holding and invited me out to a restaurant. We got to the restaurant. I could tell you where the restaurant was. It was Black Eyed Pea in Colorado Springs, sitting at the table, and he looks across at me and he said, and I had not uttered a word about this to him. He had no clue as far as, you know, me prepping or anything or anybody else talking to him except God. And he looked at me and right in the eyes and said, God's been speaking to you about going to Africa, hadn't he? And I was floored, and I did go. The second time, that was to Kenya. The second time, I was concerned about how I was going to be able to raise the support money for going, and was praying about it. And I had a friend who was a certified public accountant that was a believer. And one day we were together, and he just looked at me and said, "So, when are you going to Africa?" And I said, "Well, I'm praying about it." And he says, "Well, when you're ready to go, I'm ready to support." And that was a springboard, one of the springboards that God used to launch me into Malawi. And so God does things like that, helps us. Sometimes people may be giving us a word from God without even realizing it themselves. When I was pastoring a small church in Sparta, Illinois, as a young pastor, I started having symptoms of a stomach ulcer. And in those days, I wouldn't eat before I would preach because I didn't like going in feeling full and all that. I would wait until after the service to eat. And my dad, who he had, he had given his life to Christ. He was really living for God, but he wasn't a super spiritual kind of person. But he came to visit in Sparta, and he noticed I wasn't eating before the service, and he told me, I had not spoken to him about this problem that I was having, and he said, "You know, son," he says, if you don't eat something, just even a little bit, before you go to preach," he says, "those stomach acids are going to start messing up your stomach." And so I thought, you know, well, maybe. And so what I started doing was I'd eat something light to just kind of pad my stomach. And do you know that within several weeks, all those symptoms disappeared? And my dad didn't know, but that was God giving him a word of knowledge for me. Pretty crazy, huh? So God will speak to us through other people. Then God speaks to us through an inner witness. Isaiah 30 and verse 21 says, "Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left." Now, when I say inner witness, this is what the Bible calls a still small voice. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 11 and 12, this is Elisha, and it says, "And then he said, go out," God speaking to Elisha, "and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. Now, I'm going to talk more about this in 2 weeks in our last class in this series about how we can hear God speak to us more clearly. But this inner witness or this still small voice is really the Holy Spirit speaking inside us. In Acts chapter 16, verse 6 through 9, there's an example of this. And it says, "Now when they had gone through Persia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they came to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. And so passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, 'Come over to Macedonia and help us.'" On one of Paul's missionary trips, the Holy Spirit gave them an inner witness about not going into certain regions. And I was thinking about this. Probably, no doubt, all of us have had times where we've had that inner witness from God go, Now, it may not sound like but you know what I'm talking about. Where we've had God check us, that inner witness, it kind of goes, don't say that, don't do that, don't think that, or whatever. What that is the Holy Spirit in our heart speaking to us. Sometimes it can be the Holy Spirit saying, yes, yes. If you're asking yourself, God, do you love me? Then you need to be able to hear God through the Holy Spirit say, yes. Amen. That's God. Through the Holy Spirit speaking into our hearts. One of the ways we can discern this inner voice from God is through the presence or the absence of peace. This goes back to what I was talking about at the beginning of the class. When we're praying about direction in whatever area of life it may be about making a large purchase or something concerning our families or about doing something to serve in church or to help others, the presence or absence of peace can be one of the best ways of discerning God's direction. And so if you're praying about something, about doing something or say, and you just feel that kind of knotting up inside, I would just kind of wait. Somebody say, wait. John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Peace can be one of those governing principles of us knowing whether God is speaking to us. Romans 8, 6 says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and" what? "Peace." And so when we know we're being more spiritually minded or we're hearing from God is the presence of his peace. Okay, then one of the ways God most frequently speaks to us is through his word. Amen. Now, last week I mentioned this because some people can say, well, you know, yeah, but God, everybody can have God speak to them through the word. Well, yeah. And just because it's one of the most frequent ways God speaks to us, don't let it diminish the value and the worth and the incredible significance of his word to us as individuals. Because this word was given to us all to hear from God. And we need to spend time daily in the Word in order to hear what God is saying. See, I think there's a lot of us that we would really rather have God, you know, give us a dream or a vision or an audible voice and all that. And, you know, those are ways that God can speak. But I'm telling you, if you're waiting for those to happen, you're going to miss a lot of what God wants to speak to you, because what he really does want to speak often to us through is his word. In 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And listen, I'm a pastor. I am a preacher. I am a teacher. I think that hearing the word of God taught and preached is very important. If I didn't, I wouldn't do it. But I know that how important it is to hear teaching, to hear preaching. But as important as it is to hear the teaching and preaching of the word of God, it is no substitute for us as individuals getting into God's word by ourselves. We need both. And we need God's word and to get into his word more and more. Say more and more. That was good. Thank you. Acts chapter 17, 10 and 11. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. And when they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, listen, and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. This is what every believer, you know, if you ever come to me and say, you know what, you were preaching about this and this, and I had to just go in and look for myself to see if this was right. You're not going to offend me. We need to get into God's word to know if what we're hearing taught and preached is correct. Right? There are so many believers that if they were asked if God speaks to them, would hesitate and say, well, I guess so. Or some would probably say, you know, I don't know that God really ever speaks to me. Listen, we can be confident. Every time that we read God's word, that he is speaking to us. It is the most reliable and dependable way for God to speak. Now, we may not always have this super heavy emotional experience reading God's word. Sometimes I have a pretty emotional experience reading God's word. A lot of times I don't. I read. I get up in the mornings. I read and get in the word. I have a kind of a systematic thing that I do in getting in the word. But I can know every time that I'm reading his word that it's God speaking. So it doesn't mean we have to have this emotional charge to know that he's speaking. We can know when we get in his word that he is speaking. Does that make sense? He's putting something in our hearts and minds. And oftentimes, I've had this, and I know you have too, a lot of you, that God will take what we have read at another time and pull it out in a due season where we needed it. And so we're not going to have a good foundation in our man shall not live by bread alone, Jesus said, but by every word of God. We have got to have a good foundation in our lives of his word that we put time in and study and reading and allowing that word to work in our hearts and our minds. And God will use it to speak. Somebody say, speak to me, Jesus. He will. Now, sometimes, and I'm going to close with this thought, sometimes God speaks to us about the same thing in a combination of ways. He can use his word and bring a confirmation through other people about that, or our own inner witness. And I've got an example of this. On a trip to Africa a number of years ago, this was just a short mission trip several years ago, one morning I got up early, and it was actually the first morning that we had flown and gotten there. I had gotten up early in the morning, jet lagged, and got up. But I was praying and just laying hold of God and kind of really just meditating on the Lord. And while I was praying and meditating, man, I just felt the presence of God come on me. And I literally felt like I was being pressed down. Not oppressed, but blessed, you know, pressed like, wow, you know. And so what I did is I started lifting up my hands like this, and I could just feel myself being loaded, you know. And I opened up the Word and came on Psalm 68, verse 19. I don't think I put this in your notes, but this verse came to me right at that moment. Blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And man, I was really blessed, because here I'm having this experience with God, and then His Word just speaks right to it. The more we spend time in His Word, the more opportunity we give Him to speak to us in ways like that. And so, God's speaking. He's talking to us a lot more than what we may realize, but we can learn to recognize His voice better. Now tell yourself, I really do believe that. Praise God. The next class, we're going to talk about how we can learn to hear God speak more clearly, and we all want that. Praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight. We're going to close with prayer and confession, and just believe the Lord to speak to us more clearly, or for us to be able to have the sensitivity to hear His voice better. So just pray this with me, if you would, out loud. And if you're watching or viewing this online or listening online, just repeat this out with us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me the ability to hear from You. I need Your direction and guidance in my life. I open my heart to hear from You. However You want to speak to me, through an audible voice, through dreams and visions, through nature, Your creation, through other people, through an inner witness, from the Holy Spirit, or through Your Word. I will hear from You. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you just give the Lord a clap? Just thank Him. Praise God. As you go tonight, I want to encourage you to take these notes with you. If you weren't here last week, I do have, I think there's some lessons still from lesson one out on the table there. I really do encourage you to go through them. God wants to make His Word come alive to us. He wants us to be able to hear from Him. And so go through it through the week and be blessed. Bless you guys. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the New Life Kingman podcast. We can't wait to see you next week.